Good morning. This morning we're going to continue in our study looking at the phrase one another, as we find in the scriptures. Today the lesson will be taken from James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. This passage says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working," or the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is a passage that I don't know that we pay as much attention to it as we should, but it's certainly one that we ought to pay attention to as we look, especially at this time that we're looking at passages that use this phrase, one another, and tells us how it is that we ought to act and live with each other and be the type of Christians that we ought to be. We do have a connection with one another, or we ought to as a local church, that we are all have the same goal of being Christ-like, and we want to encourage each other to do that. Of course, we all want to be in heaven for eternity. And one of the things that James encourages us to do, and James is actually a great book for looking at relationships and how you ought to treat each other, because there's so much there in the context of what James has to say in the way that we speak to one another, and hear how we treat each other, especially when it comes to confessing to one another and praying for one another. Why is it good for us to do that? First of all, I want to look at what it is not, and sometimes that helps us to understand what something is to look at what it is not. The idea that we confess our trespasses to one another, we're not doing this because we have the power to forgive one another. And there's some religious groups today that you would confess your sins to somebody in power in that church, and you go to confession. And this is not what James is talking about, that we're going to go to confession and there's going to be somebody in another room or behind a wall that we're confessing our sins, because that person on the other side has the power to forgive our sins. And we don't confess our sins to one another or to the preacher or to the elders or whoever it might be, that person that you're confessing to has the power to for absolution of your sins. What I'm saying is that none of us are mediators between ourselves and God. We're not, Jesus is our only mediator. There is no man that is a mediator. And so that's not why we are here, and that's not why James tells us to confess our sins to one another, as if we're confessing to a mediator that's going to have some kind of power to do something about that sin or go to God on their behalf. We don't see any place in the New Testament where we confess our sins to each other as the means of finding forgiveness. So why should we confess our sins to one another? Well, James tells us to confess and to pray. And I think you need to look at these two things together. They're mentioned here together and not take them as individual. And we are confessing our sins to each other and we're praying for each other. We see examples of this in the scriptures, and one of the best known is one Noah read for us this morning. This man that we know as Simon the sorcerer. And Simon is a new Christian, and he attempts to purchase the power that he saw the apostles being able to do. He saw that the apostles had the power of the Holy Spirit. And look at what it says here, Acts chapter 8, verse 18. "When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." And certainly you can see that would be something that would be desired. Simon would desire that, and he would want to have that same power. And he said, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But of course, Peter rebuked him and said, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the power of God or obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to God that the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." And so here, Peter tells Simon that he's wrong in what it is that he wants to do. And Simon wants Peter to pray for him. And so what we see here is that Simon responded in the proper way and wanted, he did not want that to befall him. And so what we see in our relationship with God and with each other is that we should be confessing our sins, and we should want others to be praying for us because we want to be more like Jesus Christ. Sometimes, as we've said before in this series, we want to be independent. We don't think that we need others, and that's certainly a common theme in the world today, is people want to be independent or be alone. But this is referring here in James, that this is something that is a part of that bond of togetherness. You might say, I think it's an overused word, but a community spirit or a community effort. That we, as a body of Christ, want to be joined together as believers in Christ. We come together. We worship together. We have relationships with one another as the body of Christ. Our partaking of the Lord's Supper is an act of togetherness and unity. And when you look at the Scripture, so much of it is written to tell us how to deal with one another. Our walk with God is not intended to be something that we're going down that road alone. It's not supposed to be something that we should be doing by ourselves. And so the world is telling you to be individualistic. The world is telling you to value your own privacy. But you have to reject that when it comes to your faith. We come together to help each other. We come together to admonish one another. We come together to encourage one another. And you know, Hebrews is quoted so often about us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But the whole context there is that it's you're coming together for a purpose. You're coming together to be an encouragement to one another. And so we encourage one another. We pray for one another, as James tells us here. And so what does that mean? Well, what Simon did here was a very public thing, in that he's asking, you know, Peter directly, "I want to purchase this." But what if it was something that was private and secret? Perhaps there's sins that people commit that are private, no one knows about, they're secret. And you consider how many people have fallen away because they will never admit anything to anybody, and they will never confess anything to anybody, and because they will not allow others to get close enough to them to help them in any way. And we do have that attitude sometimes, that we want to be private. We don't want to admit anything. We don't want to confess our faults to one another. But what we're told in the Scriptures is that not ought not to be the way. In fact, you know, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." You notice what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, that's none of your business." If somebody's in a transgression, you shouldn't say anything, because that's their life and that's their privacy, and you are violating their personal space. You're violating their privacy to meddle in their affairs. Paul doesn't say to leave it alone. He says if anyone's caught in a transgression, you should try to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. You have a responsibility in the manner in which you do that. Don't be harsh, but also keep yourself in mind, lest you also be tempted. So the idea here is to approach this in a spirit of humility because you're not perfect either. You might end up falling as well. But you bear one another's burdens. So this is the opposite of you stand aside, don't talk to anybody, don't admit anything to anyone, and you just don't ask and don't tell when it comes to anything that might be a transgression. You notice here that the idea is that we do mind each other's business. That we do pay attention to each other. And if you see someone who is stumbling in sin, you're not just supposed to stand aside. You're supposed to do something about it. So we go against the societal idea of individualism and privacy. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are a spiritual family. We are the household of God. We share our lives together. When things are good and when there are struggles. And Paul here is talking about sometimes there are struggles. Sometimes there are things that need to be addressed. And those who are strong when somebody else is weak, you need to help strengthen them. You need to help restore them. For them to put whatever it is that's separating them from their God and their brethren, to put those things aside. And what does that infer about those who are struggling? That they ought to be willing to accept help. And they ought to also expect that people are going to want to help them. That you should not be surprised that when you are faltering, when you're falling away, when you're involved in things that you shouldn't, and somebody notices, and we're so surprised that somebody would bring it to our attention. How dare they? Because they're not perfect either. How dare they say anything against us? How dare they bring this fault of mine to my attention? That shouldn't be the attitude that we have. Paul is saying you have a responsibility to deal with those situations. And the one that brother that has caught in the trespass should also remember that, hey, my brother is doing what it is God told him to do. God told him that he needed to try to restore me, and that's what they are trying to do because we are a family of God. We have a relationship with each other, and we need to recognize that. We need to seek help and to be a resource for each other. And we ought to be honest and open with each other. And if we can't do that, then, you know, where are we ever going to be able to find the help that we need? We mentioned that in our Wednesday night Bible class this past week when we were talking about Naaman. What was the first thing that Naaman did? Well, Naaman was instrumental in his own cleansing because he recognized that he had a problem that needed to be fixed. And he went and tried to seek help for that. And on a more serious note, that we as sinners need to recognize that we have a sin problem and that we need to seek help for that. And it's a big enough problem that you do whatever it is that you can to eliminate the problem. Naaman had a physical illness, and we have a spiritual illness that we need help. And so we shouldn't be trying to keep private and not seek help. When we're together, and when we have our relationships with one another as Christians, we ought to be willing to help each other. And we ought to be able to talk to each other. Remember, that's what James said? To confess your sins? That's like the worst thing that we can possibly do, isn't it? That in our minds, that to admit to anybody that we have a fault, to admit to anyone that we have a weakness, because we want to keep up that wall and that facade of being perfect. We need to be open and be able to help each other. And we're not talking about someone, you know, coming forward after a sermon every once in a while asking a vague, you know, question like, "Well, I just really struggling right now. I need your prayers." Well, I mean, that's good that people will sometimes do that. We see it on social media a lot, that somebody is has an unspoken request. But it's very unspecific. It's very hard to know how to help somebody when you... What happens is your mind goes all over the place wondering. You think it's something terrible, and it may be that the cat's out of cat food. They don't know, and they don't have any money, and they wonder how they're going to buy it. It could be something that is something really on the lower tier of problems, and they put out a message. I'm really struggling. I really need your prayers. Well, I might be able to help you a little more if I have a relationship with you, for you to be more specific about the kind of help that you need. And so we're so careful about not wanting to talk. We're so careful about sharing anything. And you get the idea that James is telling people, just give everybody a vague request. You know, confess your sins by saying, I'm a sinner. Or I'm feeling really weak right now. It seems like James is saying if you have a problem, you need to tell somebody what your problem is so that they can help you with that problem, so that they can pray for you, and that that prayer is going to help. That's something that we can do. And when we have that kind of relationship with each other and that trust in one another, we can really help bear one another's burdens and be a help to one another. And one of the issues that sometimes brethren have is they don't want to confess their sins to one another because they're afraid that whoever they confess it to is going to put it in the newspaper, if y'all remember what that is. That's not the right phrase anymore, is it? Put it on the internet. And sometimes people don't want to talk about problems because they don't know that it's going to remain confidential. And so sometimes we have another problem that James addresses with the wagging tongue. But if our tongue is in order and our tongue is doing what it should be and not doing what it shouldn't be, then we're more apt to be able to do this that James tells us to do, to confess to one another, because we're not confessing to somebody that has a tongue problem. So you know, stop and think about this question for a moment. You know, who really knows you? I mean, your wife or your husband, you probably know you, and your kids do, but do you have relationships with others that where people really know who you are and who you are not? Not the public persona, but who you really are. And we need those kind of relationships with each other. That we are going to confess to one another and pray for each other. And that's going to be really effective if people really know each other. We don't always have that kind of relationship with everyone. You know, not all of you here know me closely, but there's some of you that do. And we need the relationships where people really, really know us well. And that they can provide guidance, they can provide advice, they can try to keep you from going down the wrong road or correct you when it is that you're veered into the wrong direction, and encourage you when you are doing well, and advise you if you're not. We need those that we have those relationships with, and that's what James is getting at here. He's addressing those that have a relationship with one another. They treat each other correctly. They confess their sins to one another. They pray for each other. They help each other bear their burdens. And why is that? Why do we do that? Well, let's look at what James has to say. The reason that we do that is because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The English Standard Version says the prayer is very powerful in its working. And certainly this is not the only place in the Scriptures that teaches us the power of prayer. You know, Psalms and Proverbs, we read about prayers that of those who are involved in sin. Those prayers are an abomination to God. And the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why should you confess your sins to each other? Because a bunch of people who are serving the Lord that are praying for you has great power. One of our good friends in Auburn has COVID, and she has some severe health problems. And you've probably seen Jarrell, you know, post about Barbara Chandler. Barbara Chandler is a friend of our family. She was when we lived in Columbus, Georgia, when we were just kids, she was my favorite babysitter, and she used to read us books, and she always was real animated in the way that she read them and could do a lot of voices and things. And I always remember that. And so she and her sisters are very close to our family, and she's been in the hospital for several weeks. But every day her sisters post about her situation and talk about, they can really feel the prayers of everybody that's praying for their family. And that whatever happens with their sister, that they know she's going to be okay. That they are fine with whatever happens, whatever God decides. If she doesn't make it through this, they've just got the best attitude about it that they could have. But you can tell from the expressions of what they are saying and the expressions of those that are praying on their behalf, how much love there is for that family and how much they love that everybody is praying for them. And I've never understood why somebody that is a Christian and knows the power of God and knows the power of prayer would not want to solicit prayers on their behalf if they're going through something, if it's an illness, if it's something going on in the family or whatever it might be. So many times we find out after the fact that somebody had an issue and they never asked for our prayers, they never asked for the congregation's prayers, or they just kept it private. And there may be reasons for that, but I'm coming up short when I think about what would be the reason for not asking for prayers. That's what we would want. And James says, you ought to confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. And particularly here, it's talking about a spiritual sickness, but it would be true of a physical sickness as well, that you want to have the prayers of others. Why? Because prayer is something that is going to be helpful to us. It avails much. We need to pray for each other. We need to ask for prayers from each other. James tells us that this is part of the relationship that we have. So confess your sins to one another, because a bunch of people who are serving the Lord and they're praying for you, it has great power in its working. And he goes on in verses 17 and 18 and gives an example here of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So James says the prayer avails much. And if you need more proof of that, here's an example. And what was the power in Elijah's life? Well, of course, the power in Elijah's life was God. And there was power in him praying to God, and it describes here that this is the same power that you have when you pray on behalf of one another. It puts that request in front of the Almighty God. So that's the big point here. Why wouldn't you want people praying for you, particularly about your struggles with sin, where you need spiritual strength? Are we going to pretend that we're not weak? Are we going to pretend that we don't have any problems when we know that we do? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Temptation is common to all of us. Even Jesus was tempted. And so we are not alone in the fight against temptation. David prayed this morning, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that. Jesus knew his disciples would be led into temptation. They were led into temptation as he hung on the cross. The point is that none of us are alone in that fight, in a struggle against sin. And so really, it's silly to let our pride keep us from asking for help. Asking for prayers. No, I don't want to ask somebody for prayers of a spiritual nature. You know, I'll let them pray for me if I'm sick, but I'm not going to mention that I'm weak spiritually in any area. I don't want anybody to know that I'm weak. I don't want anybody to know that I have struggles, or you know, they might doubt me. And it's very sad that we have that attitude. How sad for a group of people who have been saved from sins by the blood of Christ to come together and think that, well, I don't need any help. Do we want prayer from people who care for us and who go through the same struggles as us? We should. That's what James is saying. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another. You are a spiritual family that should care for one another. So certainly, pray to God for spiritual strength. Take your sins to Him, but also ask for strength and for guidance and for help from one another. Confess your sins to one another, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When somebody gets sick, and it's a very serious illness, people will do whatever it takes and spend however much money they need to take care of that illness. And, you know, sometimes those things are very serious. But sometimes it doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't buy the cure. But it's interesting when somebody is desperate to find a fix for a problem, that they will do everything that they can to try to get a solution, to try to get a resolution. But when it comes to our spiritual sickness, our pride keeps us from really seeking out the solutions that are available to us. James says, don't ignore your relationship with one another. Confess to one another. Pray for one another. Don't be private. Don't be so individualistic that you don't utilize what you have that's going to help you obtain the ultimate goal of heaven. How awful would it be to miss out on heaven because your pride kept you from confessing your sins to one another, and you fell deeper and deeper into sin because you're too prideful to admit that you needed help? That's the number one thing that we need to do to be pleasing to God, is to recognize how lost we are without Him and that we do need help. We have to be humble. We have to not be prideful to take that step. And we also need to do that in our lives with each other. Hope this thing that we've talked about today will be useful to you and an encouragement to you, and that we will not be closed off from each other, but do what we can to help each other to go to heaven. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day.
There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
come to Him that loves the Lord? Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? For the judgment day. There's a sad day coming, a sad day.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings we enjoy in our lives every day, for allowing us to meet together today. We are thankful for your continued care, for answering our prayers. Thank you for our health, our homes, and our families. Please continue to be with those who we regularly pray for. My grandfather, Miss Amy, Miss Beth, Mr. Christie. Continue to keep us and our families safe from COVID-19, and if it is your will, give us an effective vaccine. Please continue to watch over those who are serving our country with our leaders as they are in office. Please guide the election of our leaders so that we can have a government that allows us to feel safe and keep our freedoms. Help us overcome our temptations, and please keep us safe. Please help keep us safe as we go throughout this coming week. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.